was no longer howling. He whimpered, as with an evil dream, and then that sound too died away in silence, in which the yellow-haired man plainly heard the straining of the heavy door, as if something outside pushed powerfully upon it. He half turned, his hand at his sword, but the man in the ermine robe hissed an urgent warning. "Stay! Do not break the chain! And on your life, do not go to the door!" The yellow-haired man shrugged and turned back, and then he stopped short, staring. In the jade sarcophagus lay a living man, a tall, lusty man, naked, white of skin, and dark of hair and beard. He lay motionless, his eyes wide open, and blank and unknowing as a newborn babe's. On his breast the great jewel smoldered and sparkled. The man in the ermine reeled as if some letdown of extreme tension.
"Ishtar!" he gasped. "It is Xel'Totun! And he lives! Valerius, Tarascus, Amalric! Do you see? Do you see? You doubted me, but I have not failed. We have been close to the open gates of hell this night, and the shapes of darkness have gathered close about us. Aye, they followed him to the very door. But we have brought the great magician back to life." "And damned our souls to purgatories everlasting, I doubt not," muttered the small dark man Tarascus. The yellow-haired man Valerius laughed harshly. "What purgatory can be worse than life itself? So we are all damned together from birth. Besides, who would not sell his miserable soul for a throne?"
"There is no intelligence in his stare, Orestes," said the large man. "He has been long dead," answered Orestes. "He is as one newly awakened. His mind is empty after the long sleep. Nay, he was dead, not sleeping. We brought his spirit back over the voids and gulfs of night and oblivion. I will speak to him." He bent over the foot of the sarcophagus, and fixing his gaze on the wide dark eyes of the man within, he said slowly, "Awake, Xel'Totun." The lips of the man moved mechanically.
"Xel'Totun,"
he repeated in a groping whisper.
"You are Xel'Totun!" exclaimed Orestes, like a hypnotist driving home his suggestions. "You are Xel'Totun of Python in Acheron!"
A dim flame flickered in the dark eyes.
"I was Xel'Totun," he whispered. "I am dead."
"You are Xel'Totun!" cried Orestes. "You are not dead! You live!"
"I am Xel'Totun," came the eerie whisper. "But I am dead. In my house in Chemi, in Stygia, where I died."
"And the priest who poisoned you mummified your body with their dark arts, keeping all your organs intact!" exclaimed Orestes. "But now you live again! The heart of Ahriman has restored your life, drawn your spirit back from space and eternity!"
"The heart of Ahriman!"
The flame of remembrance grew stronger.
"The barbarians stole it from me!"
"He remembers," muttered Orestes. "Lift him from the case." The others obeyed hesitantly, as if reluctant to touch the man they had recreated, and they seemed not easier in their minds when they felt firm muscular flesh, vibrant with blood and life beneath their fingers. But they lifted him upon the table, and Orestes clothed him in a curious dark velvet robe, splashed with gold stars and crescent moons, and fastened a cloth of gold fillet about his temples, confining the black wavy locks that fell to his shoulders. He let them do as they would, saying nothing, not even when they set him in a carven throne-like chair, with a high ebony back and wide silver arms, and feet like golden claws. He sat there motionless, and slowly intelligence grew in his dark eyes and made them deep and strange and luminous. It was as if long sunken witch-lights floated slowly up through midnight pools of darkness. Orestes cast a furtive glance at his companions, who stood staring in morbid fascination at their strange guest. Their iron nerves had withstood an ordeal that might have driven weaker men mad. He knew it was with no weaklings that he conspired, but men whose courage